Today we'd like to see the title of "For the battle is not yours but God's" in 2 Chronicles chapters 19 up to 21. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1, in chapter 19, verses 8 to 9, "Moreover in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem, and he commanded them, saying, Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart." What do these mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 20, verse 15, "And he said, Listen, all over, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question 3, in chapter 21, verses 6 to 7. "And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever." What did this mean, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 34, "And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord." Ahab's plot that Ahab did not wear his king robe via the disguise, but Jehoshaphat wore the king robe, was diabolically, devilishly, or evil, because the plot was designed both, number one, to put Jehoshaphat in the risk of death as Syria, the enemy's fighting target, in verse 30, and number two, to reign the nation of Judah upon the death, his death, in addition to his reigning nation of Israel. Like his father Asa, the third king, in general, Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah, was a good king. His son Jeroboam, the fifth king of Judah, married Athaliah, the daughter between Ahab, the seventh king of Israel, and Jezebel. Those were idol worshippers. Seriously. So today we'd like to see chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. Jehoshaphat came back to Judah, 5 to 11, Jehoshaphat's revival. Chapter 20, 1 to 4, Moab, Ammon, and Moab's attack. 5 to 13, Jehoshaphat's prayer. 14, 19, God's answer. 20 up to 30, God's delivery from Moab, Ammon, and Edom. 31, 37, Jehoshaphat's brief biography. The last chapter, 21, 1 to 20, Jehoram reigned in Judah. So chapter 19, "Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. 1-4, Jeroboam came back to Judah. Verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. When Hanani prophesied against King Asa's ally with the heathen's king of Assyria about Hannah was thrown in jail. But here his son Jehu prophesied against the ally of the wicked king Aha of Israel against Jehoshaphat. The son of Israel against Jehoshaphat, the son of Aza. But Jehoshaphat, not like his father, accepted the rebuke of the prophet. Hanani and his son both were faithful to the words of God to have been delivered to the king, even at the risk of its life. As we, especially word ministers, should learn. That's a cross-reference right there. Verse 3, nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden image from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Verse 4, so Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. 5-11, Jehoshaphat's revival. After the removal of the wooden image from the land, then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in judgment. Now therefore let the fears of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no inquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, no taking of bribes. 5-7, Jehoshaphat charged the judges not to judge for men, but for the Lord, who is with them in the judgment. Judges, the instrument of God, represent the decision of God in issues or controversies. So there is no iniquity, partiality, or taking of bribes that would affect the judgment. The judges would have interpreted the words of God in the scripture applied to presented, disputed, directed by the Spirit. That is important reading. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests, some of the chief fathers of Israel, when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully with a loyal heart. Judges should deliver the judgment of the Lord on cases being appointed from Levites, priests, chief fathers, or elders. They should do in the fear of God faithfully and with an divided loyal heart, like Moses, able men who feared God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Close reference right there. Then 10, whatever cases comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against the Lord or commandment against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this and you will not be guilty. and take notice, Maria, the chief priest, is of you in all matters of the Lord, and Zechariah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously. Lord will be with you. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. Moab, Ammon, and Edom's attack. Those who were on Mount Seir were Edomites in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, in prayer. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some camp told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi, close to that city. And Jehoshaphat appeared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. 5 to 13, Jehoshaphat's prayer. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, you are not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of nations? In your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Verse 6 right here. First and most important thing to your prayer is the address. Who are you addressing in prayer? Here, Lord God of our fathers, like the Lord's prayer, David's prayer, Asher's prayer, Jesus' prayer. From Jesus' prayer or Paul's prayer, from which we would always much long. Jehoshaphat acknowledged the Almighty and the Sovereign God with rhetorical questions. Lord, they are more than we can face. They are more than we can handle. But no one can stand against you. You rule even our over the kingdoms of the heathen, and there are none who can withstand you. Verse 7, and are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land, people, your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Abraham is called as the friend of God to describe transparent communication, intimate relationship or fellowship between Abraham and God, as Jesus called his disciples as friends rather than servant, cross reference right there. Verse 8, and they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying. Israelites through Solomon built the temple of God, the sanctuaries in it for God's name. They praised God's name by the dedication. God's name is Yahweh, the Hebrew, also called Jehovah in Latinization. Although the region Hebrew contains consonants only, not pronounceable. Note the word of God is above all his name, because the word of God or the scripture tells what Yahweh or Jehovah is, such as God the Father, one being of Trinity God, created the heavens and earth equally with the Son of God and with the Spirit of God. Elohim, the Trinity God, created the heavens and the earth, not El, the single God, nor Allah, the dual God. Number two, Son of God is never a creature, as Michael, the archangel, only the word of God, or scripture tells us about the creator. Only the word of God or scripture tells his nature. Who can be against scripture? So right here is a cross reference. Verse 9. If a disaster comes upon us, a sword, judgment, a pestilence, or a famine, we will stand before this temple and your presence, your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. You will hear and save. Joshua reminded God of his answer to Solomon's prayer in his dedication of the temple. When you face affliction, here hidden invasion, we should humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, not necessarily within physical realm, but within the spiritual realm, but turn from our wicked way, and then the Lord will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and heal the land. Here, God often allows affliction, make us humble. Then our heart is ready for God's full work in the affliction and only for God's glory. And then God will get the credit and the glory for what's been doing. What God's doing, right? What God has been doing. Okay, that's a cross reference right here. Verse 10. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. The people on Mount Seir were the descendants of Esau, called as Edomite, the elder brother of Jacob. And so God told Moses not to attack Edomites. So we turned from them and did not destroy them. So 11, here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Lord, look what the three heathens, including Edomites, are doing. We don't have strength. We don't have a military might. We can't do it. Now we are humble. Now God can work in full without interference of a flesh. In Gideon, God did not want too many people against Midianite. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me. And so mere 300 men enough for God. God the provider doesn't want that anyone touches his glory or credit for whatever provisions. Our self-sufficiency on his provisions plagues us to touch his glory credit. All glory should be exclusively to the Lord. We are just his instrument. Chuck Smith, the spiritual father, never said, Lord, to my church, my ministry, our coverage, our ministry, and so on during his life. But the church, the Lord's church, his church, the Calvary Chapel, or the Lord's Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, through us, the ministries, or his ministry, who is the Lord? What is a blessing? The Lord's church through Chuck, Wayne, Lucas, Joe, the Lord's ministry through Bob, and so on. Jesus is all in all. So cross-reference right there. 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Ziel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, says the Lord to God, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. 15, 14, 19, God's answer, 15. The battle is not yours, but God's, because our wrestle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly place. Our life is hidden by the spirit of Christ ruling. Christ lives in me, who lives by faith. Some of us don't receive the full blessings of that work in spirit, because of the work, the plus in part is because the work was still left. So we will come short of all that God is wanting to do for us. When we are fully obedient to the Lord in the spiritual realm, separate from any flesh in the physical realm, we may be fully blessed by God, as God wants to bless us much. Even if money has a purchasing power in physical realm, we don't rely on money, but exclusively rely upon the Lord in spiritual realm. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by ascendies, and you will find them at the end of the brook, people, the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. 20:30, God's delivery from Moab, Ammon, and Edom. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, or Edom, who had come against Judah. They were defeated, for the people of Ammon, Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants' share, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude. They were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuable on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering to spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of their place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned to every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice of their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with singing the instrument and harps and trumpet to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the Lion of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. 31-37, Jehoshaphat's brief biography. So Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother named Azuba, the daughter of Shilhai, and he worked in the way of his father Asa and did not turn aside from him, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, indeed they were written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is mentioned in the book of the Kings of Israel. 33, Jehoshaphat removed the wooden images from the land in chapter 19:30, but did not remove the high worship places for idols, so he was not fully blessed by God up to his desire because of his left flesh. 35, after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Isaiah, king of Israel, who acted very wickedly, and he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made ships in Ezion Geber. But Eliezer, the son of Dodavar of Maresha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." Then the ship were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Jehoshaphat allied with Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, the king of Israel, even if he was revoked. He was revoked for his previous ally with Ahab by God through the prophet Jehu. He did not learn from his disastrous alliance with Ahab, who was dead in 1828-44, nor from his father Asa's alliance with Syria in 1672-10. That's an equal yoke according to spiritual adultery, polluted by idols such as love for God as well as other gods. Chapter 21, 1 to 20. Jeroboam reigned in Judah. Jeroboam was an evil king, unlike his father Jehoshaphat or his grandfather Asa, influenced strongly by Ataliah, Ahab, and Jezebel, who were heavily idol worshippers. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers, the son of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, kings of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold, precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strangled himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 80 years in Jerusalem. 6-7, and he worked in the way of kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. Even if Jehoram did evil and killed his brothers, God did not destroy the house of David, because God is faithful to his word. Here, his covenant with David, establishing him my house in my kingdom forever through Jesus the Messiah. That is a cross reference right there. 8. In his days, Edom rebelled against Judah's authority and made a king of them savage. So Jehoram went out with his officers and all the chariots with him. He rode by night and attacked the Edomites, who had surrounded him and captains of the chariot. Thus Edom has been revolted against Judah's authority to this day. And that time Libnah revolted against his rule, because he had forsaken the Lord of God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountain of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry, and led Judah astray. And the letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot like a harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also have killed your brothers and those of your father's household who are better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you will become very sick with the disease over your intestines, until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stood up against Jehoram, the spirit of Philistines, and the Arabians who were near Etipions. And they came up into Judah and invaded it, and carried away all possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was another son left to him, except Jehoahaz, the youngest, his son. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like a burning for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Verse 20, God had over and over again said it to the kings of Israel, such as Solomon, Asa, Hiel, Jehoram in 12 up to 15, through Elijah, "If you seek me, I will be found of you. If you forsake me, I will forsake you. If we seek God, God may be found us in the full blessings of that work in the spirit. But some of us haven't entered in the full blessings of that work of the spirit because of our work in flesh." Further, the failure to keep themselves in the love of God or forsaking God is seen in Solomon, Gomorrah, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. The purpose of God about affliction are to awaken me to my condition, to mold us to be used for him, and to draw me back to him in the undivided love of God. But Jehoram became worse after the Lord, or allowing the happenings to cause him to turn back to him. We covered all three questions. Let's see, European Union mission, continuing praying for that. So at this truth, the Europeans might have opportunity to know the words of God, you know, more and more. Calvary and I'm here to mission, continuing keep on praying for them, and delivery of the words of God in gospel and in all scriptures. Here is the Philippines ministry to Magati, PTA, you know, it's Asia ministry headquarters. Pray for the feeding people from starvation and sickness right here. Is example of South Sudan. Pray for abandoned children in Ukraine and for his increase. Continue to keep on prayer for them. Pray for rescue from Afghanistan and Ukraine for his glory. Pray for feeding Lord's lambs in Ukraine and in South Sudan. So right here, you know, question and answer in Catholic Church, and I'm here, Lord of Churches, so that's the bottom line. So our vision, let go, let God. So Shijian International Conference,